And now it's time for the bullpen.
OMG, the bullpen.
It's the bullpen, everybody.
Mercy me, the bullpen.
Go team, go team.
Yes.
All right, welcome into the bullpen. You know, right here before the show, Evan and I were talking about some political stuff, but we won't get into that now. But
it was epic.
It was epic.
You should have been there.
Yes. And if you are interested in hearing our take on politics, we do have a podcast for that. It's also on aggieradio.com. It's called The Evan Hall Show. We let Evan Hall take lead because that's his baby.
It's my jam.
Well, I mean, I kind of came up with the idea, but politics are his thing.
But he marketed it to me. And
yeah.
So.
I was just like, Evan, here, you know, we'll put your name on this. That way, if we get letters.
If we get sued.
It'll be your name.
It'll be your name.
No, I mean, it's really just, he's really into politics, even more so than sports, apparently. At least that's what he told me. So strange, that's why I was like, I'll let you.
See, let I was just waiting to find someone else around here who would let me come out of my cocoon and be me.
And apparently, I just like got as much into politics as I did during this election cycle to make that happen. So if you are interested in a political podcast, check that out. It's the Evan Hall Show. You can find it on iTunes as well. Just like you can find this on iTunes if you didn't already know. But yeah, it's the Evan Hall Show. It's on aggieradio.com. And under the Aggie Radio artist name on iTunes. Yeah. So, anyway, jumping into sports now, because that's why you're here, hopefully.
That's our jam for this hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Politics is the other hour's jam. So.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised by how... like how much I've gotten into politics over the last little bit. I kind of want to just do a political one right now instead of a sports one.
Yeah, you've come a long way. You just jumped right in. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Anyway, we'll stop talking about politics right now because you don't care about those, or if you do, that's not why you're here. Anyway, gonna get to some news stuff, and we're gonna combine news with a wall of shame because there's some interesting. Connections in those. So to start out, we weren't here last week, but our football team had their final game last week. They lost to BYU. It was kind of close in the first half, and then they pulled away in the second half, which is what happens a lot of the time. But our USU football team finished this year at 3-9. I'm putting them in the wall of shame,
which is easily the worst. Like, this is my fifth school year, easily the worst, like, by several games, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's the worst that I've had, and I was here back in the fall of 2010.
Okay.
When I think we had maybe 4 or 5 wins in that year, and it was, like, a big deal because we had been at, like, 1 or 2 wins for, like, the longest time. We started our upward trend.
See, then we got spoiled in 2012 at 10-2, and we thought, like, oh, yeah, here it goes. And then we've just kind of slowly...
And it did go. It just didn't go the way we wanted.
No, it just kind of went sloping downhill.
But it's just an absolutely pitiful season. I will never not cheer for our team, but I was very disappointed in the team. As a whole, I'm not going to single out individuals and say that I thought that they were terrible or anything, because I think it was just a lack of... like communication among people. I don't think there's any one person to blame or any small group. I think everyone could have played a little bit better. I think a lot of it comes on coaching. And the interesting thing is Matt Wells will be retained, the athletic director.
So that's official then.
Yeah. Came out with a kind of a vote of a show of support, saying that while there would be changes made, Coach Wells would remain the head coach of the team. And so I think this is going to be his do or die year. I don't think that if he has another year like this, another subpar performance, I don't think that he's back after next year.
Yeah, I can't imagine them sticking their neck out again.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, I kind of expected this. I like Matt Wells as a person, but I don't think he's done a good job as a coach the last couple of years. And I wasn't up here before that, so... I can't really speak to stuff as much. I mean, obviously the record was better the year before, but we've been on a downward trend, and I think a lot of that falls on him. And when they say changes are going to be happening, I mean, it's got to be with the coaching staff. So, is he going to let his brother go?
Well, the problem is just, you know, I know we've talked about this before on the show, but they just kind of let the whole coaching staff walk, essentially, to better offers elsewhere.
There's not really a lot you can do about that, though.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have the cash, I guess you can't.
No, I mean, but it's like it's the same thing as, say with USC back when Pete Carroll was the head coach at USC. You know, he had a revolving door of coordinators because the team was so good that the coordinators were getting poached every year. But he still found ways to get it done, find other guys to fill in that spot. I mean, maybe you're not going to have as many of good candidates necessarily as, say, USC did because it's a smaller school. They don't have as much money. But the thing is you can still find guys who are qualified. And
you can find guys who are getting done.
To me, I don't think it's necessarily the coaching staff is the biggest problem. I think it's just our plan of attack.
Well, something happened because it's like you mentioned you had been gone, obviously, for a couple of years before whenever. But even when we first jumped to the Mountain West, we were at least in contention to try and go to the conference championship game. It was always at least a possibility, even if it wasn't our strongest year. And this year, it's like not even close.
No,
at all.
We're last in our division.
And the thing is, what keeps coming
almost
up...
almost last in the conference.
Yeah, what keeps coming
luckily,
up
Fresno's
is that...
Luckily, Fresno's worse.
is that second half start. Slow second half starts have been a problem.
Yeah.
The third quarter has been almost anemic in scoring. And it happened... And this seems to be kind of a broken record almost, unfortunately, with that team. So.
Yeah, and I think one thing that could really help us out a lot is to change up our scheme on offense. You know, I think our defense does a good job most of the time. They spend a lot of time on the field, so I think they get tired. And there's always room for improvement as well. But I think our biggest problem lies with our offense and the scheme. Because, I mean, I'm not a fan of the spread offense. I'm not.
Well, didn't
because
we lose almost
it's
our
very
whole
one-dimensional
offensive line?
No, we had so everyone was coming back
line?
This year.
Oh, so
honestly, it could just be an issue that you know we had Chucky Keaton doing amazing things for the first 2 years of Matt Wells' thing. Well, I mean, he got injured
when he's
on the
healthy,
second year.
He was great to watch.
But then you had Daryl Gerritsen come in and do an excellent job as well. But you know, the last 2 years, Kent Myers. I don't think he's been terrible, but he's not as good as Chucky Keaton was, and he isn't able to kind of overcome the problems that you find with the other parts on the team. You know, he can't make up for those problems that you find, the holes in the offensive line. He wasn't able to do a great job with that. I think that we'd be better served if we changed up the scheme. Because while that scheme may have worked really well with Chucky Keaton, maybe it's not the right thing for where we're at now. And honestly, I'm not a fan of it to begin with because you do become very one-dimensional. You know, with your running plays, you're running out of the shotgun 90% of the time. Like that you run the ball, it's going to be out of the shotgun. And that lets the whole defense see exactly what you're doing. And, you know, play actions on those, you can't sell them very long because it's not a... Now you don't have the, you know, dropping back to hand it off to a guy, you know, it's very short, a short window, and I think it puts us at a disadvantage. On top of that, we had Devontae Mays, who's a great bruising running back, who we're lining up in the shotgun and wanting him to be like a Reggie Bush style running back who's just very elusive, and it's not him, and I don't know that we had anyone that was exactly that way. I mean, Tony Lindsay was a little bit closer to that style, but honestly, I just don't think it's a great system. You look at Boise State and Wyoming and San Diego State, you know, teams at the top of the Mountain West, they're running out of I formations. They're not just in spread formation. I mean, they will at times go to those. Well, maybe not San Diego State, but, you know, the other two, they'll be in those formations where they actually have a fullback or they have the quarterback under center, and it gives them a lot more options when it comes to calling plays, both running and for play actions. And you know, I think that there's times when you can use the spread formation and have it be effective. But if that's what you're doing the entire game, it just isn't going to work unless you have the best athletes out there. And we're not always going to have the best athletes in the game. So it's not going to work out. And the problem with it is for our offensive line, it's tough for them to block everyone when all the linebackers can see exactly what you're doing. You hand off the ball, all of them know where the ball is and they're going to go. They don't have to like stay at home to make sure that it's not a play action pass and they have to like go with the tight end. They can see it's a running play right away. Same with the safeties. All of a sudden, your offensive linemen are trying to block both the defensive line, the linebackers, and the safeties. And most of the time, that's five, maybe six if you have a tight end in. But you have, let's say, six going against eight. You have them going against about eight people. And even the cornerbacks, they'll be able to see it, and they'll get to come in. And so you have the line trying to block everybody, and it just doesn't work unless you have really good linemen. And our line kind of got exposed a lot this year, but I don't think we did them any favors. But that's kind of a long rant on that.
Deserved rant, probably.
Deserved. I appreciate your support.
I do, yeah. Well, with other news, I've got actually several items. Do you have any? I'm sure you have more stuff, right?
Yeah, I've got two more.
All right, well, I've got we'll stick on the football theme with a couple of mine, and then I'll come back later with a couple of baseball ones. But first one, former USU tight end Chris Kopier, this is kind of a wall of shame entry, really, has been charged with second and third degree felony charges involving firearms and drugs. This was what he was originally suspended from the USU football team back in April for, and is facing possibly up to 15 years on the drugs charges and 5 years in the charges with weapons. Apparently he wasn't supposed to be, he was a restricted person when it comes to firearms because of the previous felonies. So that's a wall of shame. So that's like second former USU player in the courtroom.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
Yeah, so that's my wall of shame entry for today. Other news, NFL denying reports that it's going to get rid of Thursday night football.
Is it?
Yep.
Because I heard it was going to. I didn't hear that they were denying it.
Well, now they're denying it, apparently, even though some teams complain about a short week. And
everybody hates it.
Yeah, everybody hates the short week.
Now, everybody hates it because, I mean, the thing you have to remember is that for football, you need a lot of recovery time. That's why you can't play more than once a week, because you know with basketball you can play like every other day and you'll be fine.
Well, that's why we don't have series in the playoffs, right? Because you can't just play
Basketball, baseball, like you can play all the time. Soccer, you can't do. You run way too much to try to play every day. So that and football isn't so much like the exhaustion, so much as like all the contact and recovering from like all the aches and pains that you get from playing football. And the thing about it is, you know, for a lot of these guys, I mean, Ray Lewis, he was on a show on Fox. I want to say it was Undisputed with Skip and Shannon. And, you know, he was talking about that one time that he said that it's the worst thing because for them, you know, they play on Sunday. Monday and like Tuesday or Monday's a rest day or whatever. And they can go for a run or like lift weights or whatever to kind of help them recover.
But you don't want to push it.
Yeah, but do it some to help their body recover. But it's, you're not going super hard or anything. And then Tuesday you have like walkthroughs and stuff, but there's nothing, what's the word? Exhaustive about it or whatever. I don't know.
It's not intense.
Yeah, it's not intense. And then, you know, Wednesday you have a practice and Thursday and then Friday usually I think they have like, you know, solid practices. And then Saturday they usually travel and have more walkthroughs and stuff. But the thing about it is like when you have to play on a Thursday, you know, suddenly you're taking out all this time that you had for recovery. And so they suddenly have to speed up the process so you don't have that like those easy days on Monday and Tuesday to kind of recuperate. you suddenly have to start getting ready for the next game. And so your body, you're more likely to get hurt on Thursdays because you haven't recovered properly. And so that's the big thing. Like, no one in the NFL, like, none of the teams want to play there. Owners don't care because they're making money.
Oh, yeah, and they'll continue to make money no matter what.
Yeah, so they don't care. But as far as, like, the players, they don't want to do it. I mean, coaches, they don't want to do it because they don't want their players to get hurt. But you have teams play on Thursday all the time, and it's just – it's dumb. The only way that I could see it being okay is if you gave the teams a bye the week before. Like, so that they would still have their recovery time and they wouldn't have to do it. And then, I mean, it would almost be like having two bye weeks or like a bye and a half because you would have that early game the next week. So I think that if they are going to keep Thursday night football, that would be something to consider. I think that they might as well get rid of it because, I mean, most of the time they're not all that competitive anyway.
Yeah.
And –
especially since they're going to separate it as Thursday night football. I mean, because like a blowout on Sunday, it's just, well, it was a terrible game. But if you're going to highlight this as like game of the week-esque.
Well, it's a primetime matchup.
Yeah, and then it turns into a blowout or.
And it drives ratings down when they're bad. And so, honestly, it would be in the best interest of the NFL, both for the safety of players and their health, and for their own ratings to not have it. You know, they want to add more revenue from, and they want to get more people watching Thursday night football. But if your Thursday night performances are always terrible, then you – and those, like, you schedule those before the year. And same with Monday night football. But – and those have been terrible. But Sunday night is usually pretty good because a lot of the times, like, especially later in the year, they flex games that are between two good teams. They flex it from their original time to the night game. And that, I think, is a great idea. That's why you had the Broncos and Chiefs last week played on Sunday night because they're both it was a high-quality matchup, and it didn't disappoint.
No.
You know, it came down to the last second of overtime where somehow Cairo Santos made that field goal, which is disappointing. But
that's like – that's a game that you want to tune into, though.
Yeah.
Even if – even more casual fans would want to tune into something like that as opposed to –
The Jets blowout and the Bills on Thursday night.
Where everybody's tired and broken down. And
That's the only way I can see them keeping it and not just betraying all their players continually, without continuing to betray their players.
Yeah.
You have to give them a bye week beforehand. So that would mean that you don't have Thursday night games for the first few weeks of the year. Unfortunately, they have a TV deal with NBC and CBS through next season. So it won't be gone even if they decide to get rid of it. It won't be gone by next season.
Yeah.
It would have to be the season after.
Yeah, so that is at the earliest. As of this yesterday, Friday, that they're so far not getting
rid of it. And honestly, I mean, I don't know if it's actually true that they're not going to get rid of it. That's probably just because
– or they at least
deny. How often do people deny stuff initially and then later on say, okay, yeah, it's true.
So that could be the case.
I wouldn't be surprised a bit if it was. There's where there's smoke, there's usually fire. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if it is go away. And I think that they would make a lot of players a lot happier.
Cool. Well, I've got a couple of baseball stuff. Do you have
a couple of baseball stuff
for like
that news? That's a terrible grammar.
This is a sports show. A couple
of baseball things.
This is a sports show, not a poetry reading contest. So what do you have?
Okay. Well, I've got a couple things from the NBA. First off, going to throw J.R. Smith into the wall of shame for this next story. He decided
first-time offender, I think.
I don't know if he's a first-time offender, but it's been a while.
Okay. It must
have
been.
He may have been in there last season, but I don't know. I can't remember for sure. But either way, he's in there now because the Cavs were playing against who was it?
Most recent game?
No.
Okay.
I don't remember who they're playing. But anyway, they were like starting doing an inbound play or whatever, and J.R. Smith goes over and is like talking to Jason Terry, who's on the bench of the other team. And he goes and is like all talking to him. They pass it to his guy for a dunk because he's not even on the court because he's over talking to Jason Terry. Like, are you kidding me, bro? I want to say it was the Rockets because I feel like Jason Terry's on the Rockets.
Yeah.
Either way, completely stupid. J.R. Smith goes on there for leaving the court because he was distracted and was talking to someone.
Was this like trash talk?
No, I don't know. I think that they're friends. I think they're just chatting it up. It could have been trash talk. I don't know. But anyway, it was ridiculous. So he just leaves the court during the game. They inbound the ball to his guy who gets an easy dunk because no one's guarding him because everyone thought that J.R. Smith was on him. So not a good look.
Yeah, don't hire him at a police department for midnight steaks.
No, I definitely don't want to do that. The other one, I'm throwing in the Warriors versus the Rockets. This was on Thursday. They set the NBA record for most three-point attempts in a game between two teams.
Wow.
Like, for the most total. And the reason why they're going in the Wall of Shame isn't because they set that record.
It's because the percentage of...
It's because of the percentage they shot while trying to do it. So I got to pull this up. This is just bad. Okay. So both teams shot 44 three-pointers. Both of them. So they set the record at 88.
That's the attempts.
Yes, this is attempts.
All right.
The Rockets made 14. The Warriors made 12. That's 31 and 27% respectively. Or disrespectfully.
Which is pretty much the same average as the guy who got to do the fan that got to do the 3-point contest at halftime, basically. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the same as, I mean, that's a decent percentage if you're in middle school. Like, I mean, if you're in the NBA and you're going to shoot that many free threes, you should be making about 40% or more. But no. They both shot 44%. From the field that night, the Rockets went 44.4% and the Warriors went 41.3%.
Wow.
These are supposed to be two of the best offensive teams in the country, in
just
the league.
Just vary it up. Just try taking it to the rim a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, but you should be shooting over 50% for a good shooting night.
Yeah, if you're going to take an attempt in the NBA, if you're going to take a shot attempt, you should at least have a better chance than, 44%.
But and so the Warriors lost in double overtime, 132 to 127. This is exactly why I'm not as worried about the Warriors as I think people were and maybe I was initially. And this is the reason why I expected the Cavs to win the series last year. I didn't expect them to go down 3-1 and then come back and win, but I thought they would win in seven games or six. I think I said six. Because the Warriors, you get them off balance on their shooting, they'll keep shooting it without making many.
They don't learn.
They don't learn.
They don't learn.
I mean, Kevin Durant went 3-for-11 from the 3-point line in that game. Steph Curry, 4-for-13. Klay Thompson, 3-for-13. That is atrocious.
Especially considering that's their secret weapon.
Yeah.
And other teams are already figuring it out, basically, what their plan was a while ago.
Yeah.
And now it's their secret plan isn't even working.
I mean, they got bailed out on their team percentage by James McAdoo, who went 2-for-2, and by, where'd he go? Andre Iguodala, who went 2-for-3. Oh, no. Sorry. McAdoo was – those were field goals, not threes. But they got kind of bailed out because Andre Iguodala shot 66% from the three-point line.
At least someone did their job.
Yeah. It's just beyond stupid. I mean, when everyone's talking about how great of a shooter Curry is, it's if he gets off, he keeps shooting it and keeps missing. He doesn't try to find another way to score, and they just dig themselves into a hole. That's how you lose to the Rockets, who are the worst defensive team ever. Besides the Sixers, who are the worst team ever.
Period.
End of story.
But it's like, where's Steve Kerr in all this? You got to, like, tell your guys, hey, this is kind of stupid. let's mix it up a little bit. You're the coach.
I just don't know if Steve Kerr is really, as good of a coach as people think he is. Now, I'm not saying he's a bad coach.
No, but it may not necessarily be.
I think that a lot of their success just came from them having really good shooters who made a lot of shots. Now, I think that he's done a good job. I just don't know if he's as good as people think. It's the same with like Eric Spoelstra. Like the Heat were really good, but I don't know how much Eric Spoelstra actually did for it. I'm sure he helped in some cases.
It's like the Cavaliers being LeBron James's team, no matter who the coach would.
Yeah.
No matter who the coach is.
Yeah. You know. So, I mean, I'm not saying that any of these guys are bad coaches. I think they're all good coaches. I just don't think they're great coaches. You know,
they're not
they just
Phil Jackson.
Let their team do whatever.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're not Greg Popovich. Greg Popovich, you do what he says. Like, you have to do what he says. And if you're screwing up, he's going to let you hear it. Yeah. Too often, you got Steph Curry up there throwing up bricks all night, and Steve Kerr's like, all right, keep shooting. You're doing good. Instead of ripping him and saying, hey, no, let's get a better shot this time. You're not making those.
Or just
let's
go
get
in.
A better shot.
Or just go in more.
Yeah.
Not rely so much. But anywho. Yeah.
The thing is, we'll get a better shot, which typically means it's a closer shot.
Well, yeah.
And so, I mean, that's the problem with the Warriors, though. And that's why I'm not worried about them. I mean, not as much as I would be. I mean, they're still a good team. They're still going to win a lot of games. They still could beat anybody, and especially in a seven-game series. They could beat, say, the Spurs, who are my team. However,
but if you get them off enough games, though.
However, they don't make adjustments when they're not making their shots. That's why the Spurs beat them. I think it was 3 times last year during the regular season. Now the Spurs went and screwed it up in the playoffs, so they didn't play them again. But I just feel like they're not as well coached as they could be. I don't know if I said it, but the Warriors and the Rockets are going in the Wall of Shame for just shooting so terribly and continuing to shoot.
Yeah.
Setting the record for the most three-point attempts when you're not making three-pointers is not good. However, I do want to mention that our women's basketball team here at USU, they were 6-1 going into today. They lost to Utah today, so they're 6-2. But they were 6-1 for the first time in a long time. They've been having a pretty good season so far, and I wanted to mention that.
Cool. Yeah. Well, a couple of baseball things.
Get over the World Series.
There's nothing to do about the World Series. Well, one of them actually kind of does have some. But just all the World Series, not just a World Series, mind you.
Hopefully you laughed when I posted that.
I did.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that was – I got it.
I was worried that like some of your family members would be like, damn, this guy's a jerk. Like, I'm just messing with him.
Why does he hang out with this guy? No. So – along with some new part of the new collective bargaining agreement and a deal with owners and the league is that the All-Star game will no longer determine home field advantage in the World Series. It'll now just be the team with the best record.
About damn time.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. It's just dumb.
Well, it would just always be the American League.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, I'm a National League guy, but it's,
yeah.
And in the All-Star game, there's enough AL superstars, at least there have been.
Win most of them, yeah. And it's dumb because, like, you have a team. You could have a team that gets in the wild card and makes a run, and they've got like they've only won like 70 games or 80 games, and you go against say like a Cubs team that wins 100, and the Cubs are playing
but it's still in the All-Star
away,
game.
Which probably would help them out because for some reason they can't win at Wrigley in the playoffs.
Yeah, I was grateful for that this year, though.
So, it worked out.
Yeah.
It worked out in the long run.
But now that I got what I want, now I'll agree to have the rules changed. So,
for sure.
I'm going to be completely upfront and selfish about that. So, yeah, so it's going to go to the team with the best record. It makes sense. It's better. A team has earned it. If you can go 162 games and have the best record, you deserve it. Other news coming out of Major League Baseball, a little bit less important, depending on what team you're following. But Major League Baseball increasing its luxury tax on teams that spend big on their payrolls.
Boo!
So it's some have said it's basically boo. Like a salary cap, which I think there's a debate to be had. But so teams like the Yankees,
Dodgers.
The Dodgers, real big spenders. And this is kind of what, you know, there was rumors like with the Detroit Tigers getting rid of a lot of their older players who are expensive because this luxury tax was coming in. It's like, it's something like a 92% luxury tax if you go above a certain amount of money that you've put on your payroll. So it's like 92%, which is huge.
So basically, if they go over the luxury tax limit, then they have to start paying 92% of what they're paying.
So it's almost like paying two teams for certain, you know, which plus when they still have to pay off players' contracts who were sent out in certain cases that made those kind of deals. That's a lot of money for some of these teams.
Yeah.
And so I think we're going to see closer we get to the regular season, we're going to see some teams dumping some players, I think. As some of the bigger spenders, I think we'll see some changes. That's my guess. But obviously that's not necessarily as important as the World Series home field advantage rule, but could be important. So,
yeah, it's going to be interesting because in the NFL, with their salary cap, you can only afford to pay like really good players, only like two or three of them on your team. And then you just have to hope that you do well enough in the draft and you can pay these players on their rookie contracts because they're a lot cheaper and do well enough for them, and then fill it up with, you know, journeyman players to fill up in the gaps and hope that you can do well enough to win. Yeah. And it's going to be a similar thing with baseball, and you're going to have people losing their jobs because of it.
Yeah.
Like, you could, I mean, that's why I'm not completely for, say, the salary cap, or even I kind of like how the NBA does it, in that you kind of like have the max you can give a certain, like a player, and like you can only really afford to give like the three different players.
So it's per max player contracts. Not necessarily.
It's based on how long they've been in the league. Okay. So say the max for like a LeBron James, right, will never be the same as the max for an Anthony Davis. You know, because Anthony Davis is much younger, he won't ever be the same level as LeBron James because of LeBron's time in the league will always be way higher. So you'll be able to pay LeBron more than you will be able to pay Anthony Davis as long as LeBron's playing. Once LeBron's gone, obviously, like, Anthony Davis's will go higher the longer he's in the league, that you can have a max. But the cool thing about it is, like, you have those, and then you have mid-level exceptions. You can have there's a lot of financial stuff involved with it, but you can sign a veteran player who's a quality player for like a veteran minimum, and it doesn't count against your salary cap.
Yeah.
And so I kind of like how the NBA does that.
Well, and then you look at the NHL, and since they had their lockout strike shortened season a little over a decade ago, there has not been back-to-back Stanley Cup champions since then. I mean, because guys are shuffled around so much. I mean, there's teams like Detroit and Chicago who were lucky enough to be able to keep putting the pieces back together with like a small core. But it's like teams maybe have a couple of years as a window to win it, or you just have to start getting rid of people because they're going to be too old anyway.
Yeah.
And too expensive. So I think at least in the hockey world, it's really shortened what could have been some really great teams, unfortunately.
But yeah, I mean, it's the same thing for, say, the Broncos. Like, I mean, the Broncos couldn't afford to pay everybody after they won the Super Bowl last year. Seahawks, same with them when they won. I mean, even the Patriots, they lose players. They somehow managed to get even better most years. But like with the Broncos, they lost a few different key players, such as Danny Trevathan and Malik Jackson, who, you know, they're not the best players on the team, but they're quality players that made a lot of plays. And with them being gone, Denver's been more porous to the run, and they haven't been quite as good because they don't have a guy at middle linebacker who can fill in and do everything that Trevathan did, and they don't have a defensive end who can replace Malik Jackson and be as good as he was. Yeah. I mean, not that they have terrible replacements, but they're just not at the same level.
Yeah.
And this happens every time that you have a Super Bowl champion in the NFL. You lose players. It happened to the Seahawks. It happens all the time. And even, you know, the way that you get around this is you get players who are unselfish. Because you look at the Spurs have won over 50 games for the last 20 years. the reason why is because they're good players were willing to take less money in order to keep the team together. That's how the Spurs have been as successful as they have been. Yeah. Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili have all been paid significantly less than they could have gotten, but they accepted less pay so that they could stay together with the Spurs and they could also bring in other talent. Yeah. And that's the only way that you'll get around this. You know, Dwayne Wade did a good job of doing this for a while as well. He took pay cuts. He was never the highest paid player on the Heat, even though he was their best player almost his entire time there, with the exception of when LeBron was there. He was the best player. He never was the highest paid player. Yeah. And then when he wanted to be the highest paid player this year, they weren't having it. And yeah. So he left. He went to Chicago. But he was a great example of taking less money so they could sign other players. That's how they got the big three together in Miami. That's how they won their two championships.
Well, and then you look at over at baseball. And since the early 2000s, baseball has already had a revenue-sharing scheme, which I think has leveled out the playing field quite a bit. So I'm not sure how much a super huge salary amount does per se. I mean, the biggest salary of any team in baseball history was the 05 Yankees, who went nowhere. 08 Cubs had the highest total salary in baseball. They didn't go anywhere. So I think, at least in baseball's case, they've already had enough of a leveled playing field where we're getting the expansion teams are now going to the World Series. You're getting the wild card teams that are competitive enough to go to the World Series. I mean, you've got teams like Kansas City who went to back-to-back World Series on a much smaller payroll. So I'm not sure if – you know, raising the tax is so necessary, as it's like a 92% tax. Like, I'm not sure that's really necessary in this case.
I think it's ridiculous, really. I mean, that's the thing about it is you have people that aren't smart about the money or whatever. I mean, you have...
like the Yankees who bought aging veterans for big bucks and it
just
went nowhere.
Just like the Knicks always do.
Yeah.
The Knicks do the same thing all the time. The New York Knicks tend to always hire, like... pay to bring in guys who used to be pretty good but are years past their effectiveness. I mean, they're still not terrible, but they're not what they're paying for.
Yeah, it's not their prime.
And that's the problem that New York teams fall into, because everyone in New York is so demanding, oh, we want a winner now. That's why New York teams never win anything.
Well, that's why the Rodriguez retirement was so awkward, because it's like this guy's taking up all this much money out of our payroll, and – he's batting less than what a lot of rookies were batting.
It was under
point.
200 last year,
wasn't it? Which is like obviously rookies are much younger, but it's like
inexperienced. I can hit that.
Law of averages, you know. Yeah, and it's just like I was saying earlier, at least in baseball's case, it's since the late 90s, after, you know, the Yankees dynasty there, it just hasn't been about payroll necessarily anymore.
Most of the time, things aren't about payroll. Because
you've got Moneyball and, you know, what the Oakland A's were doing, which has been pretty much taken up elsewhere.
Yeah.
Including Boston.
Like,
yeah, including, you know, like Boston when they finally beat the Yankees. So it's just not as big a deal to baseball, I think.
I don't think it's as big of a deal to almost any situation. You look at the Nets, when they decided they were going to go all in and spend money on all these aging veterans, they spent a ton of money. They were way over the salary, the luxury tax in the NBA, and they did nothing. They couldn't even have a winning season. They made it into the playoffs because the East is so bad, but they lost first round. But they had all these guys who used to be really good. They paid them way too much money, and nothing became of it. And there's situations like this all the time. Like, you brought up the Yankees. That's an example. The Dodgers have one of the highest payrolls, yet they haven't won a championship in a long time. I mean, having all the money doesn't mean that you're going to win. Like, being able to spend all that money doesn't mean you're going to win. You look at the Spurs, once again, the Spurs don't spend a lot of money. I mean, they usually don't go into, like, over the soft salary cap in the NBA, because the NBA has the two caps. They have the soft salary cap and then the hard cap. So anything above the soft cap, you pay luxury taxes. And the Spurs, they don't really ever go over it. And yet they still have one of, if not the most successful team every year. Mm-hmm. And it's all a matter of having the right players. It's not about having all the best players. I mean, you look at the NBA team, or not the NBA, the USA men's basketball teams that lost in the Olympics back 12 years ago, in 2004 and 2000. Those teams, they lost. They had all the best players from the NBA, but they just weren't the right fit with each other, and they weren't necessarily handled the right way. It's more about that than it is about spending money on people. Yeah. I mean, look at
small markets are doing it. Small markets like Cleveland, multiple teams going to championship rounds in leagues.
Yeah,
you know, there's so many other factors than just like you said, putting the money out there.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Rockets. The Rockets are always spending a lot of money. They spent a ton of money to bring James Harden and Dwight Howard together. What became of that? Nothing. The Lakers, when they decided they were going to combine, you know, Kobe Bryant with, once again, Dwight Howard and Steve Nash and just pay a bunch of money, nothing happened. They gave Kobe so much money after he was no good. I mean, not that he was the worst player, but he was nowhere near the
money they were paying him. But then also, like, the Orlando Magic of the 90s, you know, that's an expansion team that quickly put together a decent team. I mean, they didn't really do anything, unfortunately. But, you know,
it helps when you have Shaq.
Yeah, it does help when you have Shaq and a healthy Penny Hardaway. But
yeah. But my point really is just that you can spend all this money all you want, but that doesn't mean, like, if you're not wise with it, it doesn't matter. Like, it's not about spending the most money. It's about spending the right money. Like with the Broncos, you know, they could have – I mean, they offered Brock Osweiler a pretty good contract, way more than he necessarily deserved. He goes and signs for more money with Houston, which is fine.
But Houston's not.
But he's been awful.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Houston still could win their division, but they don't scare anyone.
Yeah.
They're barely getting by against – crappy teams. I mean, it's not about spending how much money you spend. It's about how you spend your money. Yeah. Like, if you're spending your money and bringing in quality players, then you're going to be good. But if you're spending on money, because you think that these players will be quality, and you're just throwing more money at them because you can't afford not to get them, that's not going to help you.
Well, plus it's player development. If you have certain leagues like the NHL or MLB that have minor league systems, just develop your own players. I mean, you look at the Atlanta Braves of the 90s and early 2000s. That's all their system. Even if, you know, I mean, that's a perennial contender team from their own farm leagues. So it's about player development. You know, so you can take a cheap young player and make really good strides with that as opposed to an expensive aging veteran.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, want to hear you guys' thoughts. Tweet us at USU Bullpen and let us know what you think about salary situations. Do you think that money is all that important? What's your take on it? Hit us up at USU Bullpen on Twitter. There's also a Facebook page, USU Bullpen. I think it's just that. But either way, you can find the Twitter one for sure. But now we're going to shift over to the final part of that. The funny thing is, it wasn't even intended that we were going to talk about salary caps and stuff for that long, but you know, I guess it works out. But we're going to shift over and do our picks for the NFL this week. Last week, obviously, we didn't do the show, and we were going to do it where we just both picked beforehand, and then we would count them anyway, even though it wasn't on the air. But Evan decided he wasn't going to be a part of that. but we're going to do them this week. I did really well, so I'm kind of ticked off about it, but oh well.
Oh well.
Jumping into this week, we both picked the Cowboys to cover a 3-point spread against the Vikings, and the Vikings had to go and ruin it.
By two. They lost only by two.
Yeah, so no, they had to go and ruin it in the last minute of the game when they were useless on offense all game. So annoying. It was like, you're not going to win. Don't you dare cover the spread. And then they covered the spread.
I got to say, I like Dak Prescott more the more I see these Cowboys play. I know that's a side note. But
yeah, he's a good player. And he's a lot better than I think anyone thought he was going to be, at least at this stage. He's done an excellent job. The Broncos will lead off. They are traveling to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars at 11 o'clock. Denver is a 3.5-point favorite. And interesting note on this one before we make our picks. Trevor Siemian is going to be out of this game because of a foot injury. But Paxton Lynch will get his second start. And second one.
How did the first one go?
Down, well, it didn't go that well. They lost to the Falcons. Not that he played terrible or anything. It's just the defense had a hard time covering running backs at it, like on pass routes, and they kind of picked him apart on that one. But I don't think that he played terrible. He could have done better.
I mean,
for
Matt
sure.
Ryan was doing really well back then too. So
anyway, he's going to be the starter. Denver is a 3.5-point favorite.
I think Denver wins this, even without Siemian. They're still good enough to.
I think so. I also think that, you know, Paxton Lynch is more talented than Siemian. Siemian definitely has more poise at this point. I think Paxton Lynch can get there, but I'm excited to see him start again, especially against a weaker team, kind of a warm-up game. Because the Jaguars are not very good. They're very disappointing to me because I thought they were going to be a decent team this year, but they're not. Also, we have the Falcons hosting the Chiefs. Atlanta is a 5.5-point favorite.
I'm liking this Chiefs, so I'm going to say that I don't know if I think they could win, but I know they'll at least beat that spread. So,
you know or you think?
I think and no. I think I know.
Okay.
The Chiefs get that one for me.
I'm kind of torn on this one because I think that the Falcons can take advantage of the Chiefs, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well. I don't know if they win, but I do think that they cover the spread as well. Next up, Saints host the Lions as a 6-point favorite.
Lions are a little surprising, but it is New Orleans at home. So, plus all it would take would be one touchdown and an extra point for Saints to win this. I mean, when we talk about the spread.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the Saints.
I'm going to go with the Lions. I think that the Lions are going to win. I don't think they just cover the spread. I mean, at the very least, they cover the spread, but I think they also win. The Patriots host the Rams. Patriots are 13.5-point favorites, but Gronkowski, which we failed to mention earlier, is out for the rest of the year.
Herniated disc.
So not good for him. As much as I hate the Patriots, I hope that he's able to recover from that. But I saw a report that he could be a career-ending injury.
Jeez.
But, I mean, it's too early to know for sure, but he might not ever be back in a Patriots uniform.
That sucks.
Yeah, that does suck. But I'm sure he'll find a way to party around it and make it all okay because he's good at that.
See, I've got no doubt that New England will win. But it's just, will they get the two score?
Yeah, that's a good question. Are they going to get two touchdowns?
Against the Rams. I'm going to say the Rams bring it closer than that.
I'll go with the Patriots. I think that Tom Brady is just going to find a way to get two touchdown win. I mean, the Rams still anemic on offense like they've been all season. Maybe Goff will step it up a little bit, but the Patriots defense is good enough to give him fits. Yeah. So I think that,
I mean, New England will win, but I think it's,
well, yeah, no, I think
it'll be a 10-point.
I get you, but I think it'll be more. And also, I want to be different.
You just had to be different.
The Packers host the Texans. The Packers are a 6-point favorite.
The Packers have been struggling, but it is at Lambeau Field in the cold. So I'm going to give it to the Packers. I think it's an all.
I'll take the Texans on the spread. I think Packers win, but I think it's only by 3.
So it's going to be a close one.
Yeah, because they're both terrible teams that are masquerading as decent teams.
Yeah, that's true.
The Eagles travel to Cincinnati to host or to take on the Bengals, who are a 2-point favorite. The Eagles are in complete free fall. I want to check this, but I think they've lost their last 6 games after going 5-0. But I don't remember if they went 4-0 and then lost a game. So let's see.
One, so the spread's been...
Okay, so no, they've...
So it's been put up to 2 points now.
Why would... Why okay. am I in the way?
No, because when I was on ESPN, it was 1.5.
Just kidding.
So I guess they must have upped it.
Yes. Okay. Apparently people are betting on Cincinnati on that one.
Okay, so half a point difference. Yeah, I'll go with Cincinnati. I just think the Eagles are... I initially at the start of the year I was kind of pleasantly surprised that the Eagles were doing so well, and then they just
Of fallen off a bit.
Did we see how many games it's been? Or
so they've lost two in a row, but they've lost 5 out of 6, and then 6 out of 8.
Gee, yeah.
So
Bengals.
Yeah, I am torn on this.
Be different.
I'm probably gonna be different.
Do it for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn on this because I don't believe in either team. but I think that the Eagles will win. Okay. I think it'll be close. It'll just be an ugly game. Luckily, it's not a primetime game. Next up, the Ravens host the Dolphins as a 3.5-point favorite.
Miami. It'll be my...
Your upset pick?
Yeah.
I can see this going either way. I'm going to go with the Ravens. I think that they'll win it in the end. I think they've got enough experience on their offense to get it done. Next up, 49ers take on your Bears. And the 49ers are a 2-point favorite.
Gosh.
This is going to be...
It's in San Francisco? Right?
No, it's in Chicago.
In Chicago. Okay, so there's a chance... We can blow it on our own. See, normally I would go with the smart money, even being a Bears fan, but this isn't smart. Anywho,
I don't know.
49ers.
I mean, it's not easy to be smart on this, but I think that I know the way to be smart on this one.
I'm fan picking it. I don't know.
I'm with you. I think the Bears win.
Just because the 49ers are garbage. So bad. Yeah, that's the reason why. Any other team with the Bears, I have a very hard time fan picking. But this one,
I think this is going to be an atrocious game. It's going to be ugly.
Third stringers,
but I think that the Bears win it, I think.
Yeah.
But it's going to be ugly.
I'll take that. Even just for the third.
But it all depends on if the Bears want to try to work their way towards the number one pick or at least the number two.
They're just going to blow it on some other quarterback that isn't going to do anything for them. It's not the Buddy Ryan era Bears, so I don't care. I don't care about the first round pick.
Yeah, I think the Bears win, though. 49ers are garbage, and Kaepernick is the worst excuse for a starting quarterback in the league.
They should start him. I hope they start
him. No, they're starting him.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah, Bears.
The Raiders host the Bills as a 3-point favorite.
Only 3-point favorite? Because, I'm going with the Raiders on this. They're having a decent year, obviously. And I just don't think the Bills are that good.
I want to pick the Bills. I kind of feel like the Bills are going to win. I'm going to go with the Raiders because I think it's smarter. But I kind of feel like the Bills are actually going to win this one. This is going to be one of their stupid games that they find a way to win that they don't deserve to.
Against a division contending Oakland.
Well, division leading. AFC leading. Well. They're tied with the Patriots, but the Patriots technically have the tiebreaker, but at the moment. But yeah,
it's going to be one of those.
If this were in Orchard Park, I'd probably go with the Bills on the pick, but I'm going to go with the Raiders, but I think the Bills might actually do it. Steelers host the Giants as a 6.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I'll give it to the Steelers.
I will as well. I think the Giants are kind of pretenders. They've been very under the radar, though. So, I just think the Steelers are a better team. You know, they should be pretty healthy. They've got a great running back and a great receiver and a great quarterback. So, it all depends on if their defense decides to play or not. The Redskins travel to Arizona to take on the Cardinals. Cardinals are 2.5-point favorites.
Cardinals keep finding a way to disappoint me, though, every time I pick them. So,
this is an awkward matchup because both teams have had a tie this year.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going with the Redskins.
Yeah, I'm probably.
I just don't believe in this Arizona team at all. Carson Palmer is the second worst excuse for a quarterback, for a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, he just finds ways to turn over the ball. I mean, he's an okay quarterback, but he just turns it over too much.
And the last week I kept count, you know, Washington had a good game. So a couple weeks ago, back when the last time I was on the ball, you know,
yeah,
Washington had a good week. So
next up, Chargers host the Buccaneers. Chargers are 3.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I'll give it to San Diego.
Yeah, I will as well. I think the Chargers are actually a pretty decent team, but they're stuck in the division with three of the best AFC teams. The Buccaneers have been pleasantly good recently, but I think the Chargers win. But did they win by three? No, I'll say the Chargers win by like four at least. Say I'm going with the Chargers. Next up, we got the Seahawks hosting the Panthers. 7.5-point favorite are the Seahawks.
See, the Panthers are also the other team. Every time I pick them, they find a way to disappoint me. And it's at home with in Seattle. So I'm going to – I think. Well, but 7.5, though. You know, I'm going to give it to Carolina. Give me one more good.
I'm going to as well give it to Carolina because I think Seattle wins, but I think it's a closer game. Seattle,
even just by a touchdown.
I mean, even Carolina could win this game because, you know, they're not as bad as their record indicates because they've lost a lot of games that they should have won. But on top of that, the Seahawks have also had so many struggles on the offensive line. It reminds me of the USU offensive line, except probably even worse. Luckily, Russell Wilson makes up for it. But the Panthers' D line is no joke, and so I think that they'll be constantly pressuring Russell Wilson, making it hard on him to do anything. So I think that the Panthers at least cover the spread. Last up, another crappy matchup on Monday night. The Jets host the Colts. The Colts are 1.5-point favorites. Now the question becomes, is Andrew Luck still going to be injured? Says they're hopeful that he can return from the concussion. And it looks like he's going to play against them.
Hopeful is good enough for me. I'm giving it to the Colts because the Jets are on the struggle bus this year. I mean, along with the Colts.
I need to revise my previous statement. Ryan Fitzpatrick is the second worst excuse for a starting quarterback. Carson Palmer's three.
We need to have like the anti-awards of the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, let's do it.
We're going to have like a special show. You know, black ties and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, our listeners can't see it, but it'll be fancy.
It'll be fancy. So, but yes, I'm also going with the Colts. Okay. If Andrew Luck plays, I don't pick them against many teams. I don't pick against them for many games. Yeah, I would have picked them to cover even the spread against him, the Steelers last week.
In this game, even without him, though.
Yeah.
There's still a good chance. Because
Fitzy's going to throw some interceptions that go back for touchdowns. Oh, it's what he does.
It's a unique gift. That if he can be paid off by, you know, the mob to fix these games, I think he can make a lot more money.
Yep. But, yeah, so that's pretty much it for the show today. We want to thank you guys for tuning in. If you have any thoughts, questions, concerns, anything you want us to talk about, hit us up at USU Bullpen on Twitter. This has been the Bullpen here on Aggie Radio, the Aggie Radio Podcast Network.
Oh.
Oh.
This has been another edition of the Bullpen Podcast on Aggie Radio.
Catch us on aggieradio.com and on Twitter at USU Bullpen.